Great. Okay. So thanks, everyone, for joining me on my second podcast for KeywordsBlogger.com. It's Mo speaking here, and joining me today is a veteran ClickBank vendor and affiliate. And when I say veteran, I really mean that. Miles has been online for at least 10 years, I believe, but I'll let him give the intro in a second. And he also has started recently a ClickBank community called clickscoop.com, which is awesome. It has a forum, tons of informative articles, a lot of them written by Miles himself. So I highly recommend that. And we'll talk about ClickScoop in a little while during this interview. So welcome, Miles, and thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mo. It's great to be here. I always love to talk about ClickBank and marketing online and jump at all the any opportunity I get. So
but yeah, that's great.
Yeah, like actually I was going to mention that it has been over a decade, and actually this Friday will be my 13th anniversary since I signed up with ClickBank. So 13 years this Friday. I signed up back in March 16th of 1999. They have the date you signed up inside of your ClickBank account, and that's how I know. So
wow, that's amazing. And yeah, you know what's interesting is that when you know you hear people talking about 5 years online as being forever, you know, like 13 years.
You tell me about it. I hear some people, oh yeah, I've been marketing on it for 3 years, and it's like, okay, like, you know, like whoop woo. You know, I've had people tell me that, you know, and try to be impressive about it, you know, and it's like experience does count, but. You know, and 3 years is better than 3 months, but it's still not that long when I hear that. But and if,
yeah, absolutely.
Of course, the first few years that I did anything online, I didn't really make much of any money. So I didn't really do much with ClickBank until about a year and a half in, 2 years in after I'd signed up with them.
And, you know, I've read your bio several times in the past, and I think it's the $7 check story that I think is most interesting. So do you mind telling that story, that
sure.
your very first ClickBank check?
Sure. So how I kind of got into internet – well, I was always kind of dabbling online and internet marketing. Mm-hmm. But how I kind of got into ClickBank was at the time is much, much different than it is now. There was some program out there called the cookie cutter system, and it was like you create a website and you get other people to create websites and – and some sort of, you know, early internet, you know, 90s kind of make money online system that, you know, right. obviously didn't pan out in the long term, but which there were a lot of at the time. But so this one had you, one of the steps in it was to sign up with ClickBank for an account, because ClickBank, you could sell this digital website and stuff. So I signed up with them, and I did something with them for about a week or two. I don't really recall. I placed some classified ads. I remember doing that out on the web and stuff, and pretty much forgot it, went on with my life, dabbled in some other things online, but wasn't making even, you know, anything online really. Mm-hmm. And then about a year and a half, 2 years later, I got this check in my mailbox. And, of course, at the time, I was I think I was selling hot tubs at the time, or I was working with my dad, and we did a few different things. But essentially, I was living in this tiny little apartment, making no money, barely getting by. I remember my savings consisted of about $200, but would come and go, you know, depending on, you know, what else I had, bills I had to pay and stuff. But I was trying to, you know, get ahead and just living very inexpensively, and I got this check in my mailbox, and it was from ClickBank, and I had completely forgot what ClickBank was, and, you know, I didn't remember, because at the time it wasn't anything to remember, and but it was like for $7, and I believe it was like 48 cents, or $7.42 or something, and I was like, whoa, what's this for? Because, you know, at that time, I never get money in my mailbox, like, ever. It was like, somebody sent me money, $7. Wow, I could go get Taco Bell. That's, you know, my line of thinking is like, cool, you know. It's like, well, where's this from? So I went and got on the computer, and I looked it up. And it was, you know, I remembered, I put two and two together. I was like, oh, yeah, this is from this cookie cutter. This is ClickBank. Let's look more into this. And I got all excited. And then I realized that it had come because I had placed this classified ad out there. And to go a little bit more into depth, what actually happened is I didn't make a sale of something out there. I believe what I believe happened is somebody signed up under my ClickBank. They signed up for a ClickBank account as a vendor or something, and I made a portion of their sales because ClickBank, they still have a referral program now, but back then it was a little bit different. So I believe it was that or something like that, and that's why it was so little. You know, it was only $7 and some change, and but it got me all hyped up. I was so excited because I realized like something that I did online paid passive recurring income like later, you know, like
and 2 years later.
Right? Yeah. It, like that's something amazing. That I did. And it just it totally validated the reality for me that this is a possibility. You can make money online and you can make money online by doing nothing or doing something once and then forgetting about it. And you've got this income opportunity out there on the web. It's basically like a fishing pole out in the pond while you're living your life and doing other things. You've always got this fishing pole out there ready to catch you a fish at any time. And no matter what fish it catches you or how much, you're not doing anything for it. And that's what totally like astounded me. And it was like, whoa, like, wow, you know, it really made an impact with me, that check. And so I got more involved with ClickBank and really delved into, you know, trying to familiarize myself more of what was going on with ClickBank at the time. And then the rest is kind of history. I just kind of stuck with it at that point and ended up doing really, really well with them. I've been recognized as one of their top 100 affiliates, one of their top 100 vendors in their premier program. And I probably would, and that was 2009 and 2010 I was recognized, but I'm sure I would have been recognized in years before that, before they even had that program. But it's been an interesting ride, and a lot has changed. And ClickBank has just grown tremendously and really done a fantastic job at growing their business and catering to their affiliates and their vendors. There's a lot of misperception out there that I see of what ClickBank is, and sometimes they get a bad rap because there's a lot of people talking about, you know, there's because they have had some scammy stuff on their network in the past, and they've done a good job lately, and they're even working further to clean all that up, because anybody can kind of go on there and put on, you know, whatever they want to sell, whatever ebook, and make all kinds of grand claims and promises. But when you really know about ClickBank more and start to delve into it, you realize there's a lot more to it than the average person even realizes.
Oh, there is. And I agree. I mean, they've really tightened up on their requirements lately. I mean, especially because of the FTC rules and things like that, and good for them. But, you know, I wanted to get back to your original point about getting the $7 check and about it kind of validating in your mind that this actually works. And I find that, especially among newbies, that there's this perception, there's almost this suspicion that this whole thing is a bit of a scam, and it's actually imaginary, and people really aren't making money online, and the only guys that are the ones who are selling the make money online packages. But, you know, Frank Kern actually said something in one of his courses once. I remember hearing this a few years back, and he said the first time you receive a check from ClickBank or whatever it is that you're an affiliate or vendor for, he said, then you sit back and you actually realize this actually works. Right, like I can't believe this actually works because it is so, it can be so automatic, and like you said, when you set something up once, because the nature of the web, you know, everything is automatic and sales are collected, and especially if you're doing only digital products, you know, then you don't have fulfillment and things like that, physical fulfillment. So it, right. I mean, it does work like a charm. So that was a number of years ago, and then obviously, that $7 check was the kind of the catalyst to make you look into it further. So then over the past number of years, like the past few years, what sorts of things have you been working on? I know that you're a ClickBank vendor and an affiliate, and you get most of your traffic from SEO, right?
I have, yeah. I've done a lot of different things, actually. I've had several products on ClickBank, several successful software programs that I've sold in the past as a vendor. And when you're a vendor, you know, you get to leverage the efforts of other affiliates. So you don't have to actually do if you don't want to. I mean, you should, but you don't have to do any kind of marketing, no, you know, paid advertising. You don't have to do any search engine optimization. You just have to try to recruit affiliates. And, you know, depending on what your niche is, sometimes that's easier, sometimes that's harder to do, but that's been good. I've been an affiliate for all sorts of different things. I've created a lot of sites. I've done pay-per-click. I mean, it's, you know, been a long time. So like the internet kind of, you know, transitions, and I notice I find myself kind of reinventing and re-strategizing, you know, every so many years what I'm doing and kind of evolving basically my business and stuff. And for the past 4 or 5 years, I was very heavily involved in SEO, and I'm making a transition now out of that into more like a community-based site, which we can talk about in a bit, which is ClickScoop, and more social media and leveraging still SEO and all avenues, but not focusing totally on that. But SEO is still great and a very valid and easy automated way to get traffic to your site. So I've got some complaints about it. More of those complaints are directed at Google and the way that they do things. But overall, it's a great way to get free traffic, and you know, free is best. And
sure.
So absolutely. Yeah, I've done a lot of different things. I've dabbled in other things, you know, Facebook advertising, and I've dabbled in you know, some different stuff out there. But mainly I stick with ClickBank because it's been successful for me. It's easy, and it's got all the advantages that you really want. You know, I don't want a job that I've got to like scramble to post ads up every single day. You know, it's like Facebook and a lot of these networks, when you're doing paid advertising, it's a different ball game basically, because you've got to change up your ads get stale, and you're constantly working, you know. Whereas like I kind of prefer, like you said, with digital products, you don't have to do fulfillment unlike physical products, but there's other advantages as well, especially when you start doing things like SEO and stuff. You know, you don't have to, you can take a week off, a month off, 6 months off. You know, I wouldn't recommend going that long without doing anything, but you know, you see, I started at a unique time, and this is kind of a point that I think a lot of people miss. And this is something that I even have to remind myself of a lot of the time. When I started, there were people who, you don't hear this today, but then you would hear, you can have a store that's open 24/7. You know, the whole idea of getting a website, right? And that just the amazement of, wow, that you don't even have to attend. Somebody can buy your product and you don't even have to be there. You know, that was like mind blowing at the time, right? Because before the internet, it was all brick and mortar. If you wanted to sell something, you had to physically do it. I mean, there was mail order, but you know, that wasn't quite the same. And having a storefront where somebody could go and purchase something, you know, at midnight, that was a big deal. And then autoresponders with email, right? Like the whole thing was, you know, somebody could be reading my email any time of the day. I could be sending out an email to somebody on a schedule without even having to do any of that. I could set it up and it'd be emailing them a series of emails. Like all those things are really what, even today, are what the true power of the internet is, which is automation, having it work for you. And I see a lot of people get away from that into doing these things where they're not automating. They're sitting at their computer placing ads because their ads get stale every 24 to 48 hours, and they're working all the time. And it's like you've gotten away from the whole power of the internet. That's what the whole thing was about. It's like automation. You don't have to do anything. That's why ClickBank's so powerful, is because, you know, an affiliate can go and sign up for your product and start selling it. The product can be delivered. You can follow up with that customer with a thank you letter and additional emails. All of this while you do nothing, you know.
Right.
And that's really kind of where I like to stick in that area. And then you, if you can get your marketing methods to be as hands off as possible too, you know, then that's the key. But you want to set everything up so that you are focused mainly on just marketing and not doing all these other things, because it's a, work at home, one person or two person business, as most people are, you want to use that power of automation for things. And I think a lot of people forget, and especially today, take for granted, the fact you can have a store open 24/7 where people from all over the world can purchase from you. I mean, we take that for granted because it's so common, but it's still totally amazing to me. And I think doing this so long has given me that perspective of, like, I'm still amazed by that even today.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned something, Miles, that's a great point, that, especially new people, and I'm sure you encounter a lot of new people on ClickScoop, there are so many things that they could potentially get into. There are so many different business models. There are so many different traffic generation models.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you see a lot of people, sitting at their computer and especially, I guess, on a site like Facebook, if they're advertising on Facebook or whatever, they're constantly having to upload new ads, and they're basically chasing traffic, whereas they're not taking advantage of the passive automatic nature of the internet, and the way that it can be ideally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're advising people who are new, I guess I want to bring this down to the level of somebody who is very new to this, and maybe who hasn't made any money online or very little money and is just trying to grapple with all these different things. What are sort of some of the principles or the steps that you would advise them to take? And we can break this down if you want to in terms of, getting onto ClickBank and then getting traffic and that sort of thing. But what are sort of the things that you tell people who are just starting out?
This is really good. I've actually been doing a little bit of consulting and trying to develop a system for people and these steps. But the first thing is you want to find your unique advantage or your unfair advantage. And that doesn't mean you have to be unethical by unfair. It doesn't mean you have to cheat other people. By unfair, I mean if you're basically leverage your strengths. What do you have that not everybody in the world has? And maybe maybe your unfair advantage is just that you work part-time. You're a part-time stay-at-home mom or dad, and you've got time. Maybe that's your advantage. Maybe, so you can actually write more or produce more. Maybe your advantage is you're a good writer, or your advantage could be that you've got 20, 30 years in a certain specific industry. Then I would say, try to leverage that. Try to leverage whatever you have into what you're going to do on the internet. Maybe you're really good with math. Maybe some of these paid advertising or more analytic direction where you're doing more, using more of your skills is the best way to go. So I'd say that's the first thing, is look at what your unfair advantage is, And as you go along, you continually look at your unfair advantage. What do I have that nobody else has? Maybe I have a list of emails, and let's leverage that, So that's the very first thing, is try to find something that you know about or that you have a unique edge on, because there's a lot of people out there that you're going to be competing with who are the experts in that industry. They're authorities in their field. And people are going to trust them before they trust you if you don't become an expert yourself. But when you're first starting out too, that's kind of where you want to start. But don't, that's not the direction you have to go in. You don't have to do that. It's just you want to start with that if you can. And then you want to kind of go into one, learning. I think that's a big thing, is just expose yourself to a lot of different things and learn about them. And then once you kind of match up what you've learned, what you you think you'll be successful at, what your unfair advantage is, then kind of start going into a direction and a niche. You're the niche expert with your site and stuff, so you probably know you're a little bit better about this than I am, perhaps. But my thing is try to find something you know about, whether you enjoy it or not. That definitely helps, but.
Yeah. If I can just jump in here, Miles.
What's that?
Sorry, I just want to jump in here for a second. And you made a couple of great points. And actually, your unfair advantage, I remember when you had a consultation, or I had a consultation with you a couple of years ago, actually, a coaching call. And that was the one thing there were a few things that's kind of stuck out in that call that I had with you. Uh-huh. And that was one of the things that really stuck out and that I still remember to this day, where you said that you have to choose, you have to find out what your unfair advantage is. And in my case, during our call, you had identified niche research because I have a market research background. Uh-huh. And you said, you know, that could be your unfair advantage. And sure enough, over the past couple of years, you know, I've been totally disciplined, but you know, I focused on doing niche research to find out what my target audience is looking for, and I've developed more information products, mm-hmm. and that's how I've grown my income. It's simply by, you know, just drilling into the brain of my target market and figuring out exactly what they want, and then producing information products. So I mean, that is such a great point. It's absolutely key. You know, you have to stick with your whatever you have as an advantage. The second point that you made about whether you like a topic or not, if you have a passion for it or not. I actually had my first interview last week with a guy named Rob Cornish at gainhigherground.com. And over the past 9 months, he's gone from zero to 260,000 in sales.
Oh, wow.
ClickBank sales. He's a vendor and he's launched some stock trading products and done some JVs. But we had this long discussion actually on the podcast about this. And, you know, my personal opinion is that you have to have an interest in something. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have a passion for the niche that you're in, as long as you have an interest in some aspect of your business, whether it's the marketing or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Totally. I totally agree, because you don't have to be passionate. There's a lot of things that I've done that I'm not really totally passionate, because a lot of things are hard to get passionate about. Is anybody passionate about, very dry subjects? You know, maybe not, sure. But maybe you're passionate about marketing.
Exactly.
You know? And that's where your passion lies. Or maybe you're really passionate about creating systems or designing, you know, designing landing pages and, you know, things of that nature. So.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So just to summarize what you've just said then, so find your unfair advantage and then learn what you need to learn outside of what your unfair advantage is. So whatever you have to learn to kind of come up to speed, and then sort of find what your interest is. It doesn't have to be a passion, but find out what you're interested in, focus on that. And so what else would you recommend for newbies?
Kind of get all that together and then just try things. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing, is don't be afraid to fail, because you're going to fail. And the more you fail, the more you learn. So you kind of want to get out there and just create things that fail, because then if they're successful, great, you know. But like with me, with my $7 check, if I wasn't just trying crap, I wouldn't have, you know, made any money. Obviously, what I was doing was totally unprofitable. Placing these classified ads in random corners of the web, you know, was not a very profitable or good move, but it made me money and it learned something. And that's happened to me over and over and over again, is really just try to focus in on one area and, you know, start simple and, mm-hmm. And go in that direction. And there's a little more to it. I think nowadays you kind of want to try to build an audience. You want to capture emails. I think that's mm-hmm. important. You know, you kind of want to create a little bit of a following, you know, but there's so many different routes to go that doesn't always apply across the board. But, you know, that's why I think a good starting point is getting your unfair advantage, learning more, kind of matching it up with your interests, and then kind of just taking it one step at a time and going forward and kind of exploring your niche, what the opportunities of your niche are, and also look at what other people are doing and try to model them. You don't always have to reinvent the wheel. A lot of people think, you know, they need to create something brand new or do something that's never been done before to make money. But that's not true at all, because most everything that I've done was already being done, and I've made a lot of money from it. You know, I do it either in a different way or try to do it better, but you don't even always have to do it better. You just, there's gaps in the market that you can fill just by marketing. So, you know,
that's a great point. And actually, you know, in the health niches that I operate in, with my ClickBank products, you know, the market is so massive that if I only get a tiny slice of that pie, and, you know, in the markets that I operate in, my information products are usually pretty unique, but Even if they weren't, the market is so large. Like you say, even if you get a small slice of that pie, you can still make a very good income.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's hard to, for I think most people, to really get a grasp mentally on how many people are really out there online, because you think when you've got this little website, oh, nobody's going to buy this or that. But you've got to realize there's so many people out there with so many different interests and so many different mentalities and so many different problems, and people who have a lot of money and people don't. You know, when you start out, you don't have any money, or I didn't have any money when I started out. So my thought process was, is, oh, nobody's going to pay this much for this. $37, right. That's like, you know, half a, you know, that's like a lot of food for me, or, you know, half of a bill or something, you know, because sure. I was in a different mentality at the time. And, you know, so, but you have to realize, like, you know, when you, I try to visualize, like, how many people is a million people, because when you visualize or mentally, it's really hard to separate 50 million from 550 million or even 50 million from 75 million. What's that mean? It's just a number. It means nothing. It's like, oh, that's a lot. How much is that really? And when you start thinking, like I've tried to visualize, okay, you know, I live in Denver and the stadium here, you know, holds like, I don't know what, 80,000 people or 100,000 people. You know, think about that. That would just 1 million people would be 10 stadium. And even to visualize that. So when you really start to think about it, there's like so many people out there, you can't even wrap your mind around it. So that's something I think is a good perspective to have when you're starting out. And like you said, you know, even if you get a small slice, there's a lot of people out there. You know, there's a lot of people looking for oddball products that you might never yourself purchase. In fact, I was just talking to a guy who had a unique survival niche product. It was like a book on survival. And he's an engineer. He's very practical. He's like, I don't think I would ever buy this. And he's like, right. I showed it to my friends, who of course are all engineers. And they were like, well, we would never buy this, but you know, this, that, and the other. And he's actually made a lot of sales of it. Because there is a lot of people out there who would buy that product.
Exactly. And it's also a numbers game. So you only need, you know, as we were talking about, if there are millions of people in a market who potentially might buy, you only need a tiny fraction of those to actually pull the trigger and actually buy, you know, to capture those people in order to make a good income. I mean, that's it, you know, a lot of people say this, it is a numbers game in online marketing, right? It's, you know, you just have to go after a big market or a decent sized market and then tweak things to make it turn to your advantage, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, it depends on your pricing too. I mean, the higher your price, the lower the fewer people. And if you have like a follow-up series or some sort of funnel for people, even less people. So, you know, you don't need, you know, 100,000 customers every year to make a lot of money, you know.
That's true. Okay, so from a newbie's point of view then, Miles, and I know that you're into this, but because of ClickScoop, you know, you've got a lot of newbies there. Mm-hmm. So you're figuring out what your unfair advantage is, you're learning, you're finding out what your interests are as well, you're testing things and you're not afraid to fail, modeling other people, getting in the right mindset. Then when people get to that stage, I mean, they're actually going to have to choose, you know, what I would recommend anyways is to choose a niche or an audience, and then you've got to go out and find out what their needs are and then actually find a product or create a product that will satisfy those needs. So what kind of advice do you give around that stage?
You know, that's a great question, because the whole essence of what you're doing online when you're selling something basically is finding a problem and providing the solution or finding a need. And what I recommend people do is a good kind of measure for me is go on to Yahoo Answers. And if people are asking questions about the problem that you think you can solve or that you're going to solve with your product, then you've got a good niche. You know, find people, you know, if people are on Yahoo Answers, that's a good sign. It's a pretty good niche. If people are going in on there with their problem, and saying, you know, I need help with, you know, growing grass or whatever it is. I don't know. But, right. You know, it's like, I need help with this. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, I've been looking at creating, you know, do your market research before you create your product and make sure there's an audience out there. But that, to me, has been a good gauge. In fact, even when I got into ClickScoop, I was monitoring Yahoo Answers for questions about ClickBank. And
really?
There were quite a few. Yeah, I actually go and answer them every once in a while when I feel like it's worth my time to do so, because usually it's not. But that's been a good gauge because, you know, and you can't spam. You can't include your link all the time. And it takes a while, in fact, before they even allow you to add a link. But it's kind of good market research. It's a good way to get in touch with your audience, with your future customers. And it doesn't, you don't have to use Yahoo Answers, but that's kind of been a good general gauge because that's a very broad Q&A forum, basically Yahoo Answers. But, you know, if you can find other sub niche forums that are in your industry and see if people are actually out there looking to have this problem solved, because, you know, if they are, and if people are answering them and they're not getting their problem solved, then I think you have a good opportunity to find it. Because you have to figure, too, every person who asks a question on Yahoo Answers probably represents a much larger figure, right? I mean, I don't know how many that is, but I would gather to say for each person, there's probably another 500, 1,000 maybe out there in the world, maybe more, maybe I'm way underestimating it,
right,
that have the same question, that need the same solution to their issue.
Right. And they took the time to actually go online and, you know, type out that question. So which, you know, that's an indicator of some desire. You know, the other thing that people can do too is, and I'm sure you've used this in the past, is once you have the general idea of the topic, you can do a bunch of other things like, go to, as you mentioned, niche forums. Mm-hmm. And do keyword searches for words like help or guidance or things like that. And you know, I find on the forums, Yahoo Answers is a little bit more restricted because people tend to type, I think, shorter questions. But if you go into the niche forums, you can find people really pouring their hearts out.
Yeah, and that's going to be even more specific because this person had to go through – they're already in this niche. They had to register through this forum. You know, so I think that's even more of a sign that you're on the right path if you can find questions in niche forums about your product.
Exactly. And then if you want to go a step further, which is what you did yesterday with your ClickScoop email list, is you survey them.
Right.
Which is something else that we've both done. And that's when you really get into the nitty gritty of exactly what people are looking for and can't find. So
yeah, and who your audience is, who you're attracting, because you don't always know who's going to be coming to your – I mean, you have a good idea, but, you know, sometimes things change and it's a very – you know, the internet's very fluid and you don't know exactly unless you are paying attention and
– Yeah, and you have to ask sometimes.
Yeah, you got to ask. You got to ask people. I was just reading a book last night. I can't remember the specifics about it, but they were like – you know, they're saying like – maybe it's a blog post. I don't know. It's kind of all blur, but they're saying something about, you know, 87% of people believe our companies believe they know, you know, what the customers want. And then they surveyed, well, how many of those 87% actually asked their customers what they wanted? And it was like none or two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you know, you don't want to make too many assumptions. You know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we've all heard this stat that 95% of businesses fail in the first 5 years or whatever the actual stat is. But I'm firmly convinced that the reason the majority fail is because it, you know, this company was started by one guy who said, I've got this problem. And, you know, I know what the solution is for me, and therefore, you know, I think everyone else will like the solution. And usually they, you know, the people don't.
Yeah.
So they make an assumption as to what the market wants, not based on research, but based on their gut. And actually, Michael Gerber covers that in the E-Myth, in his E-Myth books about, you know, how a lot of businesses are started by technical people, like technicians, people who might, you know, so a person might be a good baker. And so they say, well, I'm going to start a bakery. But they're a baker, not an entrepreneur, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think, going back to my point earlier about your passion, it's like just because you have a passion for something doesn't mean it's a profitable niche, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just, you know, you could be as passionate. You know, they say that people say follow your passion, and it's like, well, to a degree. I mean, yeah, if you don't care to, you know, if your ultimate goal isn't to have a thriving, successful business, and you just want to get by, you could probably follow your passion and become a dog groomer or something. I don't know, but
sure.
But yeah. You know, if you, you know, for our purposes and for the people listening on this call, you know, you want to follow your passion if it's profitable. But if it's absolutely not profitable, find another passion. There's lots of things to be passionate about.
Right. So once people have gone through all this stage, and again, sorry, mm-hmm. I'm pulling it back to the newbie stage,
that's
because
all right.
That's, you know, a lot of people who read my blog are in that stage. So, but so once they're at that stage and they actually want to start promoting a product, you know, obviously both of us were biased towards ClickBank, but are there any tips that you have for people on how to find a product to promote if they don't want to create their own product straight away?
I think that's the best way. Even if you want to create your own product, you know, promote a product first, because you'll learn so much promoting. Now, if they're, you know, taking that there is a product similar to the one you want to create, because if there is, then promote it first, because you learn a lot by being an affiliate. I'd say one is really try to get your hands on the actual product and look at it. So many people go out there and start promoting a product that they haven't purchased just because they think it makes money.
Right.
You know, they think, sure. Oh yeah, this is selling good, or it's, you know, it's real popular. A lot of people are buying it. Well, you may luck out, but just to take the smarter route is get the product, look at it yourself, familiarize with yourself with it, because that alone is going to give you an unfair advantage over most people, because the majority of people out there, they just pick something and try promoting it, and they're not even looking at what they're promoting. And the advantage I think it gives you is you know the product. And you know how it's going to better fill the needs. So, you know, it's like, uh-huh. How, you know, it'd be like selling a car that you've never driven. If you've driven the car, it's easier, I think, for you to sell it to somebody because you know about it. You've driven it and you have that experience with it. So try to get a copy of the product. That's a good one. I would say also try to contact the owner of the product, mm-hmm. that you're going to promote, and build some type of relationship with them, because 9 times out of 10, or probably 99% of the time, if you can get in touch with them, they'll be more than happy to help you, because you're going to help them make money. So to
great
a degree
point.
You know, if you're just a beginner and you're asking them questions like, how do I make a link, they might help you, but they're not going to spend the majority of their time, hours and hours with you, taking you from nowhere to becoming their top affiliate, because they've got a lot of other things to do. But they will, however, send you things. Maybe they have a mailing list. Maybe when they update their product, they'll want to keep in touch with you. And if you can't get on the phone with them and start that relationship, because they also will, even if you are a beginner, they'll probably give you some tips. Too, they might
True.
Say, you know, well, most stars, and ask, what are your successful affiliates doing? You know, how are they promoting the product? What do you recommend I do? Can you give me like a, you know, a just a quick 5-minute, you know, step by step of what I could do? Or, you know, just don't try to, you know, because I've been an affiliate manager and I've been in the position of a vendor, and seeing new people who say, well, how do I do this? Well, this sounds like a lot of work. I've had actually a lady tell me that once. It's like, you know, I don't really want to help those people. But the people who are like genuine and saying, oh, how are you doing? Oh, this is a great product. Yeah, I actually, you know, got it, and I've looked at it, and I'd like to, you know, take a stab at promoting it. What do you have any suggestions or ideas for me? And then I'd be more open to say, yeah, you could try this or that. And so those two things is getting a copy of the product and developing a relationship with the owner of the product is going to basically allow you to move faster, or like, you know, gives you an advantage and kind of gets you going a little bit quicker, because you'll be able to bypass all of those things, learning that on your own, because nobody knows more about their product than the vendor. Typically.
Than the vendor, yeah.
You know.
And if I could add 1.2 miles, those are great points. One thing, and this is speaking as a vendor who gets affiliates, you know, I get affiliates contacting me from time to time, and I have people who are actively promoting my products now. But if you're a complete newbie, and I've actually had people email me and say, how do I paste this link here? And you're right. To be honest, it's very annoying as a vendor. And I'm not going to take the time to tell that person how to do it, especially because there's a thing called Google, and they can just Google and they can Google that. But I would strongly recommend that if a person is interested in promoting a certain product, once they've reviewed it, is to make one or two sales for the vendor. Because if you make one or two sales, however you have to do that, it shows faith. It's based, you know, it's an expression of faith in the product, and then you can start your email to the vendor by saying, you know, I'm so and so, I've made a couple of sales for you, or even one sale. Mm-hmm. Now can you help me with this? And so you've proven yourself to the vendor, and they, I think, will be much more likely to work with you. And that's been my own experience as a vendor as well.
Yeah, and if you have anything to show the vendor, like, here's my website, let them critique it.
That's another great point.
You know, let them critique your website, or here's a blog, the blog post I wrote about your product or whatever.
Right. That's an awesome point as well, because I've had people do that. And, you know, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, here's my site that I put up, and I've put your banners on, by the way, take a look and tell me what you think about the placement and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then, you know, that definitely gets the product owner's attention for sure.
Yeah.
So
even if you haven't made a sale, but yeah, having made it, but don't, I wouldn't say wait. I'd say, you know, try to make some sales, but, you know, don't hold off until you have made a lot of sales. You know, you can try and see, and then try again. You know, worst they can say
sure.
is no, quit bothering me. You know, it's
that's
like,
true.
Well, okay, whatever. You know, and then find somebody else who will help you with the competing product. But I think just from anyone, don't expect vendors to hold your hand and take you through step by step every little thing. You know, you've got to be, like you said, show some faith and have some self-reliance, because a lot of people are out there asking people to hold, you know, can you hold my hand and make mm-hmm. me money? And, you know, and there's so many people out there. I don't want to invest my time in somebody who, you know, is going to paste a link somewhere and then never do anything again. You know, if they don't have the motivation or the, you know, to even try to get their own site going and show me they're serious. Because, you know, frankly, there's a lot of people out there like that that will contact you. I need help with my link. Well, I don't know what to do. What do I do next? And
right.
It's like, well, ask a little more intelligent question. Like, tell me some background. You know, so many people out there just shoot off emails. And it's like, I need help. And it's like, well, help with what? You know, like,
right.
You know, it's like, I'm not going to do it. It's like they're babies almost. I don't know. I want to go. I could go on a whole rant about all that. But
okay, so that's great advice, and you had touched on something that I if you could elaborate on, that'd be great.
Sure.
And you mentioned at the beginning too. So you know, people are newbies are trying to promote these products and trying to make some sales so they can get some help from the vendor and make some money. And the next obvious question is, you know, how do they start getting traffic? And you had mentioned before that you're moving away from SEO a little and more into social media and community and that sort of thing. So maybe talk a little bit about sort of what you're doing and sort of any advice you could provide.
Sure.
In terms of traffic.
With what I'm doing is with ClickScoop is a little bit different. For people who don't know, ClickScoop is a community website for ClickBank marketers, ClickBank affiliates and vendors. It's kind of based around that niche. We provide news. We have blog posts, tutorials. We have a new forum that we're working on getting up, and it just kind of like basically all about the ClickBank community. So with what I'm doing with that is a little bit different, because some people go out and they just want to promote a product. And this time around, you know, each time I kind of redefine what I'm doing or start a new project, I take everything I've learned from the last one and all my cumulative knowledge and kind of try to implement it in the next project. And for this one, I kind of wanted to create more of an asset and a brand. So if you're a beginner, maybe you're thinking of creating a website, keep in mind to don't create it just to I mean, you can, but if you're going to create it just to promote one product, I'm trying to think bigger and more draw an audience, returning visitors, and basically a community of people who are passionate about a certain topic that where there's products to sell them. That's a really good direction to go in as well. Go ahead.
So what you're saying then is that you should be serving an audience or a market as opposed to just promoting a specific product, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can do that in a lot of different ways. I mean, you could build an email list. Even this is – it's everything's a learning experience and an experiment. You know, there's no tried and true, we're going to do this, it's going to make X amount of dollars, and it's going to be successful. I mean, even after 13 years since I've signed up, every new project, you still don't – I mean, you have a good idea if things are going to work out or not, and you use your best guess. But anytime you're kind of going into new territory, you learn things and you don't know for sure. But kind of what I'm realizing is building a community, building an asset, creating a brand. One is something that I can sell down the road. It's not attached to me. It's not Miles Baker's blog, Miles Baker's ClickBank tips, you know, because how do you sell that to – you know, Joe Schmo, you know, sure. you could change it up, but it's much easier to kind of create a brand. But, kind of going into new territory for me, it's been interesting. I'm getting a lot of traffic from YouTube back to my site. I found it's actually easy to get noticed on YouTube, get videos ranked pretty well on YouTube. YouTube videos are showing up in Google results. It depends on how competitive your term is, but if there's a lot of crappy videos, so if you do decent videos or helpful videos, it's really easy to separate yourself from all the rest of the stuff out there. So that's been pretty helpful, and just kind of going in more of a direction of not relying on SEO like I've been, where, like, you know, 95% of my traffic comes from search engine, you know, from Google, basically.
Okay.
And if Google doesn't like me, then, you know, a big, gigantic chunk of my business drops off. So kind of spreading myself a little bit more diversely and creating my own on-demand audience, basically, that I can reach out to through Facebook or Twitter, email. Email, I think, is still extremely powerful. I don't know if it's more or less powerful than it's been in the past, but I do think it's if you develop a presence and emails that people expect to, it's all about the relationship, right? I mean, that's where social marketing has developed. I mean, when I started, there was no social that term didn't even exist, you know. Mm-hmm. There was no Facebook, Twitter, you know, none of this stuff. And so, you know, the internet has changed more from, like, just getting content to being way more social and more dynamic in the aspect of building relationships. And I think that's kind of the trend I'm seeing, is you want to build your relationships with customers, with people, you know, with prospects, so they trust you. Because when people trust you, they're going to buy from you. And there's so much nonsense out there that if you can separate yourself from, you know, all the other yahoos out there trying to, you know, sell you something and actually build a little bit of a relationship first. I mean, that gives you a huge leg up on your competition. So with what I've been doing with ClickScoop is more social base, more community, driving traffic. I still get quite a good portion of my traffic through Google, and that's okay, but I don't want to just rely on that. If Google goes away or makes changes, I don't want to be my whole business be crushed, because that's happened to me in the past. And, you know, it's not a good thing to experience. So with what I've learned from that, I was trying to diversify myself. I think you can protect yourself. Even if you are getting a lot of traffic from Google, build an email list, get those people to want to come back to your site again and again.
And you know, that's been the experience of a lot of marketers, I think, over the past year with the Panda updates and things. A lot of people have realized that they have to diversify their sources of traffic. But, you know, when you were just talking about the social media and connecting it with email, this kind of funnel just came into my head. And what's interesting is that, you know, the social stuff that you're doing on Twitter and Facebook and then YouTube is social to a certain degree. That's kind of almost like it's like mass social, you know. And then what you're doing is you're kind of trying to get people to opt into your email list, and then you're kind of it's like one-on-one almost, right? Then
you're it's kind of
relationship.
Like, yeah, you're right. I guess it's kind of like going out to a networking party and kind of talking with people, and then you talk with them, and not everybody do you get their business card. So just like with YouTube, not everybody's going to go over to your site, but then you get their business card, and just like with YouTube, they go over to your site, and then you call them or you reach them, and it's kind of similar to them being on your email list. So you're basically taking your relationship in steps. You know, so you're out there socializing with your Twitter and your Facebook and your YouTube. And then, you know, the next step is kind of coming in a little closer, getting to your website, exploring some of your writings, maybe following your RSS feed or something. And then the eventually closest step would be, buying something from you, I guess, would be the closest step. But the next closest step would be, getting on your email list or something and then purchasing a product from you through your website or your email list.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, actually. The networking at the cocktail party
kind
of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it really is true. You go out and you might meet people there, but you only get a handful of business cards, and then those are the people that you might develop a more intimate relationship with.
Or you go hang out with them, right, at another, you know, later at the conference, or
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting. So that's kind of what you're doing with ClickScoop, you said, and you're focusing on the social aspect. And I have to put in a plug here for ClickScoop, and I'm not getting anything from this, and it's completely free, as you said, but it is an awesome resource. And just the blog posts and the multimedia aspect of it and the videos, and it's also a very slick-looking site, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
It looks, but the content is also rock solid as well. So what plans do you have for ClickScoop then coming up?
Right now we're going to transition it into a free member site. So if you want to get into the forums or you want to post comments, you sign up, you just put in your name and email, and then you can become basically a member. You get your forum registration and stuff. So we're working on that because I want to make it more of like a community and give it that community feel versus just a blog that people pass by sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and like a club, it'll be free to join, and you know, everybody will still have access to everything. But so that's kind of the next phase that I'm working on in steps and in tandem with everything else I've got going on. But it's been a fun project for me with that, and working on creating some new content and videos and different things as well. It's a lot of information to cover. There's a lot about ClickBank that you can do. And there's there's the whole affiliate side. There's the whole vendor side. If you're going to sell your own product, how to set it up. I mean, it's basically, I could have a team of probably like 5 people working on it full time, just creating content about all the different possibilities out there. But we're not at that point yet.
Wow. Well, it's a great place for newbies to start. Like I said, I highly – newbies or even more experienced people. I mean, I've learned some things through your blog posts, especially because you have so much experience with ClickBank. So.
Good to know.
Yeah. So, well, we're coming close to an hour here, Miles, so I don't want to, take up your whole day and week with this interview. But I really appreciate your time. And as we've been discussing ClickScoop, so that's ClickScoop, ClickScoop.com. People can check you out there. Is there any other – is that where you would send people?
Yeah,
that's the main spot?
I've got a blog that I update once in a while called MarketingWithMiles.com. If somebody wants to get a hold of me, they can go to MarketingWithMiles.com. There's some archives there that go back pretty old, and that's kind of more of a hobby at this point. I don't even try to monetize it, but I do post stuff when I feel the urge. I just put a bunch of books that I read up on there, or that I purchased up on there. I might be writing some reviews of those, and it's more kind of like my passion for marketing. So marketingwithmiles.com, MILES is how you spell my name. And if you want to reach me, there's contact forms there on ClickScoop. So
great, sure. That's I'm sure. Well, I've been checking it out, so I'm sure some of my readers will check it out as well. Is there anything else that you want to? Any final advice or?
I just say that it is possible, and if you haven't gotten your first check yet, Just keep at it because, you know, I see so many people out there trying and wanting to make it happen. But just like anything in life, it takes determination and tenacity and perseverance and a bit of hard work. You know, it's not just going to be an easy thing that happens overnight, as so many ads and products online claim to and lead to believe that, you know, you just, you know, push a button and you're going to make money. It's not that way, but it's not that difficult either. I mean, the whole passivity and automation of it all makes it easier for people to actually make money online and start building a list. You know, I think, you know, it's not that hard to create a landing page and start collecting emails on a subject and doing a little bit of paid advertising or something, and you're on your way, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. And then just sticking with it, the tenacity and persistence, as you said, that's key.
Yeah, because it's real. Great. So.
Great. Well, thanks again, Miles. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure my readers will love this. You gave a lot of value in this interview.
That done.